Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match.
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. The third day of the Edgbaston Test, India against England, is done. And Simon, it looks really like England may be done as well. It's hard to see, with India a lead of 257 and 7 wickets in hand, how England can win this one.
Yeah, we've said that a few times this summer, and England have managed to pull off remarkable victories, but there's something just a bit cannier about this Indian side. Quality and depth, you feel it's going to be very difficult for England to win this match. Pitch playing a few tricks as well, a bit up and down. At Lord's, New Zealand were 242 ahead with 4 wickets down. India a bit ahead of that, and they've got one fewer wicket down. So it just shows how difficult the situation that England find themselves in. Because they did come back to win at Lord's. It's going to need bang-bang in the morning, really, I think, from England. But even then, I'm not sure it'd be that straightforward to, say, chase 330, 340 in the fourth innings of the game. But they will chase it. Whatever they're set, they're going to chase it. That's what Johnny Bairstow said tonight. It seems crazy, doesn't it? Because you think, oh, you know, four sessions looking at, say they're looking at 450, 500, say that. You just try and bat out the game. But no, it seems that whatever it's set, England are going to have a go at it. What about that?
Yeah, and the way Bairstow's playing, you almost wouldn't put it past him. And it's not surprising that Bairstow would say that. I was trying to think, you know, another wonderful innings by him today. And, you know, yesterday very cautious and his defence was really excellent. Today, some explosive shots, some amazing shots. I was trying to think of any batsman that I've seen, certainly in the modern era, that has had that level of audacious dominance and, you know, so consistently dominant as well. And I mean, I could only think of Viv Richards, and people on Twitter said, "Well, what about KP? What about Adam Gilchrist? Sehwag? You know, people like that." I don't know whether anyone was quite as sort of intimidating, almost in a way, because he's got so much power and so much range, and you know, that shot he hit off Thacker over deep mid wicket was, you know, sort of big six of a good length ball from a bloke bowling, you know, 82 miles an hour. It was so dismissive.
Yeah, it was a brilliant shot. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, what I thought when we talked about going, you know, I thought you were talking about England players, you know, in terms of dominance. Or, you know, the only one I can think of in my time is KP. When he was at his best, in that year in which he made 3 brilliant hundreds, one in Mumbai, one in Colombo, one at Headingley. You know, it's that sort of run of form that Johnny Bairstow is in. 500s this year, three tests, 300s. And I think this was the better innings of the other two. I mean, the other two were fantastic innings, the ones he played this summer at Trent Bridge and Headingley. They were amazing innings. They're wonderful, eye-catching innings, full of emotion and power and wonderful strokes. But this one, I think, was better because of the degree of difficulty. He came in again at a tough point, and he actually toughed it out. He toughed it out yesterday, and he actually toughed it out this morning as well. He didn't score a run for 20 minutes. And he was playing and missing, and then he had that conversation, whatever, verbal joust with Virat Kohli, and it seemed to get him going. He sort of patted away the question at close of play when I asked him about, you know, did that sort of get you going a bit? But it seemed to, and he played a big shot afterwards and missed. But then from then on, he just totally took over. He had something like 12 runs from his first 59 balls, and then he made his 100 off 119 balls. So the other 88 came off 60 balls. I mean, it's remarkable hitting, really, the like of which even KP didn't produce. You know, that sort of intensity of hitting. You know, KP did play some wonderful innings and really attacking innings and scored quickly. But Bairstow is scoring much quicker, and it's mighty effective. It's astonishing hitting.
Yeah, and you're right to compare a couple of KP's innings. But, you know, actually, especially that 149 I think he made at Headingley against South Africa. Yeah. But I'm not sure whether... Well, certainly the pitch was flat. And I'm not sure the bowling, although Dale Steyn clearly was in the South African attack, I'm not sure the bowling attack was quite as difficult, as potent. Steyn wasn't quite on the mark that particular game. Whereas the quality of Shammy and Bumrah especially, and the support acts today on that Edgbaston pitch, well, no one else could really fathom it, and for a time Bairstow couldn't fathom it either. And maybe the ball just got a tiny bit softer after the 35th over or so, but still, the cleanness of the hitting, there was no luck involved in any of it. It was no top edges or slices over the slips that I saw. It was all just straight off the middle of the bat and straight through the field or over it. Absolutely incredible. You know, straight hitting of imperious dominance, pulling, very fast hands, the old kind of forcing shot off the back foot. The shot selection was brilliant.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. The poor strokes, if you like, or the dodgy shots came before he got going, when he was trying to drive early on this morning, playing and missing. But once he got in, everything was just about coming out of the middle of the bat. It was a stunning innings, and I think it was better than the other two, and they were fantastic, glorious romps, really. Brilliant, yeah. Emotion filled. It's going to end sometime, isn't it? But my goodness me, it's exciting, enjoyable to watch while it's lasting. Contrast that today, Yoz, with Ben Stokes, and who I also thought played pretty well. He was looking in control, and then he was dropped twice and eventually caught a mid-off by Jasprit Bumrah. I mean, magnificent catch for any cricketer, really, but for a fast bowler, Bumrah diving away to his left-hand side, the ball after he dropped Stokes, and two drilled shots towards mid-off, and Bumrah dropping, shot attacker dropping Stokes off a sky. What about his approach? We saw it Headingley, he holed out to mid-off, Kane Williamson took the catch there. I just can't help feeling that he's better than that, that in a way that Bairstow's approach showed him the way to go. You know, Bairstow cautious, actually. He better reined himself in because he recognised it was quite difficult out there. Mind you, that was earlier on. Stokes came in once the ball was softer and he just wanted to impose himself. But he's such a good player and he's got so many shots. Yeah. And his defence is strong enough as well that you feel that... Get yourself in, and then you can actually accelerate. Then you can play in that really ultra positive way.
I totally agree with you, and I think that the obviously what Stokes is doing is he's trying to just ferociously stay on message, isn't he? He they are talking about this new positive approach, and he's the one who has to sort of almost dictate that, set the tone. So he's determined to stay on that message, whatever happens. And he's just getting the balance a bit wrong. I mean, they talk about finding the limit. Well, I think he's finding the limit at the moment, and he's probably just exceeding the limit a tiny bit. I think what he needs to do is just actually stop running around, stop moving around so much, because it's really hard to run up the pitch and keep hitting faster bowlers when your head and your eyes are moving all over the place. Bairstow doesn't do that. Bairstow has three or four shots. He's got the bash over the top, clean hitting when they over pitch. He's got the forcing shot off the back foot, which is probably his signature, actually. He's got the pull, and he's got that wonderful kind of pickup, which he played from a sort of full ball and off stump, sort of dismissing it over deep mid-wicket. And he's sticking to those shots, but he doesn't run up the wicket. He doesn't move around at the crease very much. It's kind of very efficient and quite controlled, whereas Stokes looks slightly out of control.
Yeah. Well, they're different types of players, of course, but I think there's sort of disappointment among the spectators who turn up, and it happened to Headingley as well, because they know how good Stokes is, and they just want as much of him as they possibly can. And England actually needed as much of him today as they possibly could as well. You sense that for England to get right back in this game, it needed a huge partnership between Bairstow and Stokes. Billings tried his best, and it was a good stand with Bairstow, but it needed 180 between Stokes and Bairstow to get England right, you know, close to India's tote and try and put some pressure on them in the third innings. As it was, the lead was 132, and that is in any test match, anywhere in the world, in the whole history of the game, and that is a sizeable lead, and one in which, you know, you'd expect a team to build on. It'll be interesting to see how Stokes develops over time, because he is better than that. He knows it as well, and there will be probably an occasion, you know, once where he'll break free and he might smash 100 or 60 balls, but you don't feel he'll be able to do that against high quality attacks the whole time. But he's perfectly capable of scoring 100 off a high quality attack. He showed that at Headingley in 2019. He showed it at Lords in 2019. So. Yeah,
but he took his time, didn't he, with those innings?
Yeah,
you know, he played
himself in. Yeah, he's good. He's good. He's good enough. That's the point. He's good enough to score runs against high quality attacks, but it's not easy sort of thrashing and slogging and hoiking high quality attacks. They'll get you out.
I'm Alex Rodriguez,
and I'm Jason Kelly
from Bloomberg. This is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jasprit Bumrah was the main man with the ball yesterday for India. Today, Mohammad Siraj picked up 4 wickets. He took out the tail, got rid of Billings and Broad and Potts, and he got Root out yesterday. There's just a greater depth to this India attack, certainly than New Zealand came up with. They looked a bit thin, and they did have some injury problems to Grantham in the first test, and then Carl Jameson in the second, and then they picked the wrong team in the fourth match. But Bumrah, Shami, Siraj, Tucker, Jadeja, solid options for India. And India probably have out-batted England in this test match so far, but they've probably also out-bowled them as well.
Well, absolutely. And I think that the distinction really is just hostility. That there's just a bit of extra pace from all of those bowlers, apart from Tucker. Mm. You know, the first three of those, Bumrah, Shami and Siraj, are 87, 88 miles an hour consistently. And each is slightly different. You know, obviously Bumrah, very clever bowler, angling it in and sort of seaming it or swinging it away. Clever changes of pace as well occasionally, and just at you the whole time. Mohammed Shami, the most brilliant seam position in world cricket. And Siraj, sort of full of zest and energy and electricity, that kind of hustling the ball onto the bat all the time. And I just think they rush players and they have the control as well. Well, certainly Shami and Bumrah have fantastic control, and they don't get put off by an aggressive batsman. They still keep on plugging away on that difficult line and length in the main. They don't get suckered into, you know, trying the bouncer ploy or posting strange field settings or anything. They're confident in their ability, and they found enough in the pitch. And I think it revealed what world-class bowlers really are. There was, you know, quite a chasm, well, let's say a gap anyway, between their threat and that of Anderson and Broad, I thought. And that's no sort of shame on Anderson and Broad, but these guys are at the top of their game at the moment and have just got that bit extra.
Stuart Broad's test match. He went 1 for 89 off 18 overs in the first innings. Of course, he suffered at the hands of Jasprit Bumrah. 12 overs, 1 for 38 today in the second innings. What about his effectiveness of late? He has bowled a lot of overs, and he was mentioning this after the Headingley test match. He bowled 47 overs in the game. You know, 3 days later, he's back for more, and he's already bowled 30 overs in the match.
No, it's hard. I mean, he's keeping going manfully, and it's a wonderful effort by both him and Anderson. And what was that stat that Anderson is the oldest fast bowler to take a 5-wicket haul in a test match? Apparently, SF Barnes doesn't count because he wasn't a fast bowler, though actually I think he was. I mean, some people class SF Barnes as a spinner, but he was a seam bowler. He was a cutter bowler, really. This is, for those who haven't studied the history of the game, SF Barnes took, I think, 187 test wickets in a career that spanned about 7-8 years in the early 1900s. A lot of those wickets were taken in test series in South Africa where they played on matting. And I think he took 49 wickets in 4 tests and then refused to play the 5th test because he wasn't being paid enough. He was a controversial character, but he did take a 5-wicket haul into his 40s. And I think he was a fast bowler, or at least a seam bowler who bowled cutters. But, you know, we haven't really got any evidence to prove that. So apparently because he's classed as a spinner or a cutter bowler, Jimmy is the oldest bowler to take a 5-wicket haul. Amazing performance in the first innings. England desperately need him to do it again, don't they? I mean, he's still fantastic. But I just think, you know, to give the highest praise to the Indian bowlers, they have got a bit extra, which England, if they had Wood and they had Archer and they had Stone, one of those three, especially Archer, would probably be able to match. But they don't.
Yeah, SF Barnes, 27 test matches, 189 wickets at 16.43. I mean, there are some people who think he was the greatest bowler of all time.
Well, he took something like 5,000 wickets in his career at an average of 8, which you include, when you include club cricket and minor counties. He played a lot, I think, for Staffordshire as well. So if you sort of factor all that in, he definitely was the greatest bowler of all time, yeah. Definitely, if you ask Geoffrey Boycott, he was.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think there are people who have him in their all-time World 11s. Anyway, so that's SF Barnes. Just on England's attack, and you mentioned that India getting more out of it and Anderson Broad not quite at the same pace. And actually, what was noticeable is when Ben Stokes bowled this evening, he did get that. I mean, it's a fantastic delivery to get rid of Virat Kohli, but the sort of delivery actually that can worry a team who are batting last. It bounced and, I mean, no fault to Kohli. He's not been in great form. He actually played quite nicely tonight and hit 3 or 4 really crisp strokes. But Stokes got him out with a superb delivery. I noticed on the speed gun that Stokes was up around 86 miles an hour, which isn't lightning fast, but it's probably quicker than any of the other bowlers. So there's just an indication there that he was able to get a bit more out of this pitch because of the extra pace. And that's what the Indian bowlers were able to come up with. Just an interesting one on Shami, though. I mean, he excellent, isn't he? I mean, he was unlucky and only pick up a couple of wickets. But one of the things we noticed in the IPL, he's very good with a new ball. And then when he comes back later, when the ball's a bit older and a bit softer, he doesn't have all those variations. And he does get knocked around the ground. You don't really want him bowling 18th, 20th over in a T20 match. And it was a bit like that today, actually. Bairstow got stuck into him as well, was whacking him down the ground, hitting him over the top. But it was just a bit of T20 in a test match. But yeah, so India with this lead.
Well, yes, actually, just to pick up on that quickly. I mean, actually, that's where I admire Bairstow's innings hugely, because he knows that Mohammad Shami is a bit robotic. And so you can take him down because he's a bit predictable. Whereas Bumrah, he was much more cautious against. because he's got that extra sort of inventiveness that can totally upset you. So he tried a slower ball, he tried a couple of Yorkers, he didn't quite get them right. But he's got other things in his armoury which Shammy doesn't have, and Bairstow respected that and played him a little more cautiously.
Yeah, so in India with a lead of 132 yards. Before we just move on to the India innings, I'll say a bit more about the India innings. I just saw something today from Matthew Potts that would, I think, would encourage England supporters for the future. Not so much with the ball today, although he did bowl a very good spell. He made 19 off 18 balls. Okay, no great shakes. He hit 3 fours and 1 6, but two magnificent strokes. One clip through mid-wicket for four, all the way on the ground, and one smashed into the Hollis stand for six. We haven't seen much from Matthew Potts with the bat so far. Paul Collingwood was saying the other day that he's seen Potts' bat and there will be something from him. And I thought just a glimpse today, you feel that he's going to have a long run in the side. Somewhere along the line, he looks like he might be quite a decent number nine at Test match level. And you need that, don't you? It needs to be part of your army. He fields well. And he looks as though he's got something with the bat. I think we saw that for the first time. He's been knocked over a couple of times already in his career. But today, there was just an indication that, yeah, he has got something.
Well, he's a good ball player, clearly. He's a good athlete. Mm. And in a way, you look at someone like Pat Cummins, how he's improved his batting. He was a sort of number 10 or 9 or 10 who was probably average about 10, 15. But now Cummins is a proper batsman at number eight, someone who's going to put up a lot of resistance and can play several different ways. Potts should aim to be like that, I think, because clearly there is some genuine ability.
Yeah. Eight overs, two maidens, no wicket for 20 from Potts today. Wicketless, but he did beat the bat. He was his normal relentless self. But he like Anderson and Broad, he's down at that sort of 82, 83 miles per hour. Another failure for Shubman Gill. Vihari at number three, caught off Stuart Broad, and I mentioned that Kohli wicket. Excellent delivery from Ben Stokes. The three wickets to go so far. Now, Cheteshwar Pujara, he's obviously not got the message, has he? No one's put the note under his door to say, come on, Cheteshwar, this is a different game, Test cricket now. There's Rishabh Pant in our side. There's Ravi Jadeja. He likes to play his shots as well. Look at the way England are playing. But Pujara, he just rolls on in his own old-fashioned fashion, really. 50 of 139 balls.
And I bet you Rahul Dravid gives him the biggest pat on the back when he comes in, because the sort of substitute for Rahul Dravid. Actually, not as good a player. It's amazing if you look at Rahul Dravid's record. I was looking at it the other day when it was on telly, actually. 13,000 test runs and 36 hundreds. And all the runs he made in one-day cricket as well. Pujara, not a one-day player, although actually I think he did get a T20 IPL contract, if not last season. But the one before, didn't play very much. No, look, he plays his way. He was a punch bag against Australia, wasn't he? Just took blows on the body and just, in a way, sort of absorbed the sting of the faster bowlers in whatever way he could, allowing the other players to play around him. So an invaluable performance. And listen, you've got to hand it to India, don't you? They're in this position, 257 ahead, 7 wickets in hand. They've had no warm-up matches. I mean, we said before, well, they have. They had that one match against Leicester, but they haven't had much proper practice before this test match, whereas England obviously played 3 tests against New Zealand. They've lost their 2 opening batsmen as well, one to COVID and one to injury. So Rohit Sharma and KL Rahul not available. So they've got makeshift openers and still they're in this fantastic position. I mean, as we've said, I suppose, over the last couple of years, they're threatening to dominate the world game and now could field 2 or even 3 11s that could put on a good game, a good show against a side like England.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they've got lots of talent, definitely. They got one or two sort of issues in their side. I'd like to see Gill get some runs and Vihari, is he a test match number three that will succeed long term? I'm not sure about that because he made his debut against England at number six, made a half century. He's obviously a solid player. You've got to be a decent player to get in the Indian side, but they just seem to have so much quality. And there's going to be a massive head-to-head confrontation in India next, February, March, when They come up against Australia. I think it's in five test matches. I mean, what a series that's going to be with this revitalised Australian side and, you know, and a very strong Indian side, you know, especially at home. Actually, an Indian side, actually the one in Australia last time round. So, you know, it's going to be a heavyweight contest.
Australia better find some other spinners, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't see any flat pitches in that series, can you?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I hope it's not just sort of raging turners everywhere. You know, you want sort of good, sort of really tense 5-day contest, really. But I mean, I'm sure there'll be some
dream on, Simon.
well, the whole fire on that. You know, generally speaking, Indian pitches are not bad for batting. Gradually deteriorate, and you know, the best side over the 5 days wins rather than just a sort of shootout with a ball ragging square. We did have that a bit in the England series. Chennai, the first test in Chennai was the sort of pitch we probably expect to see in India. You know, where there is some slow turn. And then it gradually turns and deteriorates more as the game goes on. But there we go. Anyway, it's going to be a great contest ahead for those two teams. As for this test match, well, good game to win from here. But, I mean, clearly England are going to have a go at whatever India set them. I suspect it's going to be somewhere in the region. I mean, my best guess, best hunch, somewhere in the region of about 450. That's where I can see it going, unless England get wickets in the morning. It's 257 already. There's still 7 wickets in hand. They've, you know, got power to add. Pant is there. I thought he played really well, actually, Pant. He just, you know, came out and hit the ball quite sweetly. Nothing particularly extravagant. Did whack broad down the ground. Just played nicely. So he's a threat tomorrow. Jadeja. It's got to be early wickets in the morning if England are to keep the chase under 400. I mean, I think the fascinating thing is England will go for it. So, you know, I'd be surprised. There's not going to be a draw in this game.
No,
not unless we get an earthquake or something. That's the only way I can see it. Is, you know, England are going to go for it. They'll perish or succeed with this ultra aggressive approach, and it'll make for a sort of interesting viewing. I mean, for England to chase a big score like that against this Indian attack, they need something from the top order, it strikes me. You know, they need runs from the top three. You can't chase a huge score from 3 down for 40. It's got to happen at the top. So that's going to be a huge challenge for England when they get their chance. I mean, they'll be hoping it's sort of just after lunch, but the likelihood is, or greater likelihood is, it's going to be sort of tea time onwards, four sessions, 450. Good luck with that, Yoz.
Totally agree. I think it might be less than 400. My sort of with a bit of an optimistic head on, I think England might get some early wickets tomorrow, and they might just keep that run chase to under 400, and then it'll be fasten your seatbelts and see how it goes. We'll be back this time tomorrow to tell you how England fared in what will be an inevitably challenging run chase. Speak to you then.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.